Hello and welcome to Destiny Church Online. We're so glad you chose to join us today. Wherever you're joining us from, welcome to our online audience. During the month of April, we'll be coming to you online to comply with the social distancing guidelines from our national, state, and local leaders. Once we resume services on campus, we would like to invite you to worship with us here in Daphne, Alabama. If you're watching for the first time, please fill out a digital connect card at dci.life or click on the link in the description. Also, please be sure to share this message with your friends on social media. Hey Destiny, an important way you can help us stay connected as a church family is by checking on each other. Pastor Reif is challenging us to pick three people to check on this week: an extended family member, an unchurched neighbor, and someone from our Destiny Church family. Pray with them, encourage them, see if they have any needs. We can be the hope and light that people need right now. Please help us. Did you know that nearly two-thirds of our church family gives in person each week, while one-third of our church gives digitally? Obviously, since we aren't currently meeting in person, we want to encourage you to choose an alternative way to give. Our giving is vital for the church, especially as we go through this challenging time. You can give in the following safe and secure ways. Give online and set up recurring giving at dci.life. You can text any amount to 84321. You can mail your giving, or you can bring your giving to the church and place it in the drop box just outside our administrative office doors. However you choose to give, thank you so much for your faithfulness in continuing to worship the Father with your resources. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We know this Easter is going to be a little bit different in how we celebrate it, but we are going to celebrate. So please join us right here next weekend at 10 a.m. for a powerful message as Pastor Reif begins a new series called Divine Interruptions. We'll also take communion together, so be sure you have some bread and juice ready prior to next week's message. Then Pastor Selena will have a special kids message with some fun Easter activities. One more thing, as we approach Easter Sunday, Pastor Reif would like us all to prepare our hearts by watching either The Passion of the Christ or Son of God. Either of these movies is available for rental on most streaming services such as YouTube, iTunes, Amazon Prime, or Redbox. These movies will help us focus on Jesus' sacrifice and prepare our hearts for Easter. We're looking forward to celebrating Jesus' resurrection with you next weekend. Don't forget, you can find out more about these and other news and updates at dci.life and our social media pages. Thanks again for tuning in today. Enjoy the rest of the service.
So in this week's Live to Give segment, I want to really talk to you about what does a faithful giver look like? This week, we'll talk about audacity. Faithful giving looks audacious. I remember a time when I was a teenager that there was an elder in our church that I really looked up to, and I really respected this guy. His name was Lloyd Holcomb. He had recently retired, and because he was moving to a fixed income, the enemy was really battling with him on fear about giving and continuing his tithing and offering. And so for several weeks, this fear the enemy would hit him with, like, you're not going to have enough money to live on if you keep giving your offerings and tithes as you were when you worked full time. And he finally got so fed up with it that he said, I literally told the devil, devil, if you don't leave me alone and stop trying to make me be overcome with fear, I'm going to move my tithe from 10% to 20%. Wow, that's so audacious. In your face, devil. He said basically that the devil left him alone, that he never had to deal with that again. And to me as a young man, hearing that story, it just boosted my faith in being solid and bold in my giving. And so from the age of 17 until now, I have been audacious in my faithful giving. It reminds me of when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew leaders, they were forced to make a choice between bowing down to a graven image of King Nebuchadnezzar or they would be thrown into the furnace. They were either going to have to bow down and worship it, or they were going to be thrown into a furnace and burned alive. And they told the king in Daniel chapter 3, they said, "King, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we will want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or the gold statue that you have set up." So he went, he threw them in the furnace, and you know that God rewarded their faithfulness, and not one hair on their body was singed, and the scripture says they didn't even smell like smoke. This was such an incredible witness to Nebuchadnezzar that he made a decree that no one would speak any evil against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he even said, "You'll be torn limb from limb and your house will be reduced to rubble." So this great audaciousness, the audacity of this these three Hebrew leaders is a model for us to say, we will give faithfully, and we will be audacious. Nothing will stand in our way. During this time, you might be thinking, well, I've been laid off from my job, or, well, the economy's uncertain. But I'm telling you what, don't let that fear overcome you. Be audacious in your faith. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Your giving makes ministry at Destiny and around the globe possible. Let me pray over our gifts this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person that is giving, for their audacious faithfulness in giving. Thank you whether they're giving online, texting, giving digitally in some other way, or bringing their offering by the church and dropping it off, God. Thank you for their faithfulness, their audacious faith in giving. Bless every person who gives. God, bless the needs of our church. Bless their businesses. Bless those who have lost their jobs, God. May they be taken care of in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, we're really glad to be with you, and we're excited to worship with you today. So let's just lift up the name of the Lord today while we're together. Thank you. see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
Hey, Destiny and Destiny family, I'm so glad to be with you guys today. Listen, I'm missing you guys a lot. I wish I could be here and you be here with me in person, but right now during this season, we're going to be coming to you live each week on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So today's Palm Sunday, and we're going to really surround our message today around Palm Sunday, kind of explain a little bit of the significance about that. But first, let's say our declaration together. You ready? So God designed me to be fruitful. I choose to partner with His original plan for my life. Amen. So we're finishing up this series, From Fear to Faith. This is our fourth part. I started it off 4 weeks ago. Joe Pileggi came in with an incredible message called The Resurrection of Hope. And then last week, Erica Dees came and followed that with God's Contingency Plan. If you have not heard these messages, please let me encourage you to go to dci.life and catch those messages. It will just minister to you because they are right now messages. I'm telling you, they are rhema meaning right now, messages for the church and for us. So go listen to those and minister. Let those minister to you. So today, as we are celebrating Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday really is about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I want to set up a little bit of the story here in just a minute when we begin to read in Matthew chapter 21. But as we start talking about this, it really, that whole scenario of Jesus going into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday that we're celebrating, it really surrounds a parade. Now, I'm not sure Jesus intended for it to be a parade, but that's ultimately what it became, because he had raised Jesus from the dead at Bethany, and there were so many people that knew Lazarus, and they had heard the reports of him being raised from the dead, and so they flocked to that town so that they could see if the miracle was true. Now, all these people had gathered there, but now it was time for Jesus to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. So what did they do? They consequently followed him. Now, everybody loves a parade. I've loved parades since I was little, not so much now that I've gotten a little older, but I remember taking my kids to parades, and I even remember being in parades when I was a child. When I was a child, my dad was a firefighter, and every year at Christmas time, the children of some of the firefighters would be able to ride the fire trucks in the Christmas parade, and we would get to throw Christmas candy and little stuffed animals to people in the parade. And I'm telling you, there were years that I was able to ride on the fire truck, and I could be a participant, and there were years that I wasn't able to ride on it, so I'd have to sit on the sidelines and watch as the parade went by. So in a parade, there are always two different kinds of people, and you're going to have people who are the watchers. These are the people that are standing on the sidelines, that they're just very selfish, motivated. They're consumers. What's in it for me? And so those people, if you've ever been to a parade and you've been on the sidelines, you can see that sometimes people can really almost get violent with staking their territory out, like, man, don't get in my space. I got here early. I staked the claim on this spot because, you know, I'm going to get the best gifts. I'm going to get the most candy or whatever the parade people are tossing out. And I get the best vantage point. I can see from this spot better than anybody else. And sometimes they can get downright violent if someone kind of encroaches upon their territory. These people are the watchers. They're the consumers. And then you have other people who are the workers. These are the contributors. What can I do for others? These are the people who are actually working in the parade. They're the ones who drive the floats. They're the ones who build the float and create the float. They're the people on the float that are waving and throwing candy to those that are standing by. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, there were even watchers and workers in his parade. I want to set up Palm Sunday with you by reading Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy Jesus said, "Tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples, they did just as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spreading their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, "Praise God! Hosanna for the Son of David! Blessing to the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So as you look at this story of Jesus going into Jerusalem, this whole crowd of people were following Jesus there. As they were going, there were different kind of people. There were people who were the watchers. They were trying to see who this Jesus was. They were trying to figure out who he was. These were the people that Scripture calls the Pharisees. They didn't really believe he was the Messiah, and they were asking kind of with an indignant tone, like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? You know, the reason they were kind of indignant is because in the old world, kings would ride in during peacetime on a donkey. Now, years later, that would change to stallions, but at this point in history, it was very commonplace in the Middle East for kings to ride on colts of a donkey into the city during peacetime. Now, in times of war, especially after victory, Jesus or a ruler would ride in on a stallion. And there's some prophetic things happening here. Now, during peacetime, they would ride in on a colt, but during a victorious battle, after they had won a battle, they would ride in on a white stallion. Look, the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus, when he returns, he's coming as a victor and he's coming as a judge. And that time he won't be riding in peacefully on a little donkey that has never been ridden before as a humble, peaceful king. The next time Jesus comes, he's coming as a victor and he's coming as the righteous judge. And Revelation says that when the skies split, he's going to step out. He's going to step out on that white stallion. So as we look back at the parade, you have the watchers. These are the haters. These are the ones who are indignant of who Jesus is. You're going to have haters in your life as they watch the journey of your life, the parade of your life, as you will. As you progress from one stage to another stage, you're going to have haters. Like, who does he think he is? Who does she think he is? They're going to be the watchers. They're going to be the ones watching for you to make a mistake. They're going to be the ones on the sideline that are going to be waiting for you to trip up. And when you trip up, they're not going to be there to help you. They're going to be there to criticize you, because these are people that will only take from you. These are people who are consumers. They are the haters. They are the watchers. You're going to have those in life, and you can't worry about those people. But Jesus has not called us to be just watchers. He's called us to be workers. He's called us to be contributors and not consumers. This is what I want you to understand, that the contributors are the ones like the disciples who are followers of Jesus. When Jesus gave them the cue to go get the donkey, they didn't ask him what for. Could you cast the vision for us a little broader? Could you fill in all the details? They were workers. They were there to serve the vision of the Messiah. And when he said, go and do this, they trusted him and they just went and did what the Messiah asked them to do. Workers are contributors. They're the faithful followers. Now, as part of watchers, you're going to have the haters. You're going to have the fans. There are people a lot of times that are standing along the parade side line, and they're fans. There were fans of Jesus. There were people there that, man, look at what he did. I saw what he did. I'm all about Jesus, and I'm on Team Jesus at the moment. But if you'll read a little further in Scripture, when it comes to Jesus' crucifixion, his trial, his crucifixion, and then his resurrection, you'll see that some of these fans, they deserted him. And very quickly, they went from, we're all on Team Jesus, we're all about Team Jesus, to the next time, you're finding them, they're being shouters of, give us Barabbas and crucify him. So they go from being a fan to now they're not on Team Jesus. You'll have people that'll come into your life at different times. They'll be your fan, but in the blink of an eye, they will turn on you, and they're no longer your fans. But there are also workers. These workers are the ones that are the faithful followers of Jesus. The faithful followers are the ones that Jesus, he went and he asked his disciples after he did a teaching on the Lord's Supper. And many of the people couldn't understand this teaching, and so large numbers of his disciples. Now, the Scripture calls them disciples. These are fans. These are not people that they were kind of on the fence. These were people that were under his teaching, called his disciples. And at that point, they said, look, this teaching is too much for us. We just can't handle it. And they left. I can imagine that, you know, I've had people leave under my ministry at times for different things. And, you know, I know how that feels. I can only imagine how Jesus must have felt, because he didn't just have one or two. It says in the scripture that great numbers of disciples left him at that time. So it was a large crowd of followers, people who went from fans to now they're not followers any longer. And Jesus, he turns around to his disciples, to the remaining 12, and he said, will you leave me too? And the scripture says, where would we go? John 6, verses 67 and 68 says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them, are you going to leave too? And Simon Peter said this. He said, Lord, to whom would we go? Where would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. What basically Peter was saying is, Jesus, you've ruined us. Like, you've told us the truth. Our eyes have been opened. We have a revelation of who you are. You are the Christ. There's nowhere that we could go. There's no place that we could go that we would ever be satisfied again. You've ruined us. We will never leave you. We will stay with you. We love our lives until the death. We will die for you, Jesus. These are the faithful followers. So in a parade, you're going to have people that they're going to be watchers. They're going to be your criticizers. They're going to be people watching you just to mess up. Then you're going to have those who are faithful. Hopefully you're one of the faithful for Jesus, that you're not just one sitting on the sidelines watching, because our faith is called to be active. Listen, I want you to understand this, that faith is perfected when it is practiced. Our faith has to be practiced. Our faith has to be active. We're not made to just sit on the sidelines and watch life go by. Right now, if I could just be completely honest with you, I'm troubled in my heart what I'm seeing out of a lot of Christians right now during this whole COVID-19 virus. There are so many people that I look at them, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I see so much fear that has gripped them. I'm like, what is going on with your faith? Adrian Rogers said this. He said, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Listen, faith is only as good as the test that it's been through and how well we pass the test. We're in the middle of a time right now that our faith is being tested more than any other time probably in our life. It's being tested economically. It's being tested spiritually. It's being tested with relationships. We're not being able to be in relationships. It's being tested physically, because people have come down with this virus. People are afraid of getting this virus. Hardly a day goes by that I don't talk to at least one or two people that are struggling in their faith right now. Can I tell you what? It is time to practice your faith. Faith is perfected when it is practiced. I want you to listen to this. In James chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, hey, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And then the last verse says, now someone may argue, some people have faith and other people have good deeds. But I say to you, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Can I tell you that faith is perfected when it's practiced? The more you practice your faith, the more perfect your faith, the stronger your faith will become, the more mature your faith will become. Faith that is used less becomes useless. I just want to say it again. Faith that is used less becomes useless. We have to practice our faith. We have to be active in our faith. God has not made you and me to sit on the sidelines. He has made us to be followers. He has made us to be participants. He has made us to be contributors and not consumers. So, Pastor Rife, what are you saying? What do I have to do, Pastor Rife? This is how you can apply your faith. This is how you can apply it. Do something. During this pandemic, whatever you do, do not close yourself off from the world. Do not hide inside of your house. Do not binge watch all of your favorite Netflix shows and veg out, you know, for an entire month. Whatever you do, do not do that. Now listen to me, because I know some of y'all are ready to throw rotten tomatoes at the TV right now, but listen to me. I am not telling you to disobey our leaders. What I am telling you is there's a lot of ways that you can activate your faith, that you can practice your faith right there from your own home. Pick up the phone and call someone. Pick up the phone and check on someone in your neighborhood. Pick up the phone and encourage someone. See if they have any needs. Text someone. Email someone. Do something. Just don't sit there and do nothing. Do something that you can reach out and be God to them today. You can be Jesus to them today. The scripture tells us that if we will let our light shine through doing good works. So in other words, faith that is active, we're workers. If we will do good works, if we will do something that encourages someone or fills a need, people will actually give glory to God. I want to close by sharing this. There was this really happened with someone in our church recently. So we have a retired pastor here in our church family, and he wrote a note. His name's Joe Pileggi. He actually spoke on the second message in this series. And Joe, he went around and put a note in all of the mailboxes in his neighborhood. It's a very simple note that described who he was and where he lived, and if there was anything that he could do for any of them in the neighborhood, even if it was just to talk to someone, to please give him a call or email him. Little by little, the people in that neighborhood begin to respond to Joe. One of those people in his neighborhood is a teacher who is the friend of someone else in our church. And so she places on Facebook this post that says, "I was praying harder than I have ever prayed for encouragement last night. And when I woke up this morning, I found this note in my mailbox." And she had a picture of the note that Joe had put in her mailbox. This lady was already giving glory to God just by that simple one act. So what can you do? I don't know, but you can do something. I don't know what you can do. Ask God what you can do, but you can do something. Just reach out to someone, and that's a way that you can apply your faith. God rewards faithfulness. I want to leave this scripture with you, and then I'm going to pray. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested by fire and purified as gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Right now, we're in a time where our faith is being tried almost by fire, almost as purifying gold, But I'm telling you what, God rewards the faith of his followers. Can I pray with you today? If you're going through a situation, I want you to activate your faith right now. How do we activate our faith? We can activate our faith by declaring the word over your situation. I've said this many times in messages before, that when you are facing a situation, whatever that situation is, before you go to your mother, your mother-in-law, your kids, your parents, friends, go to the word and see what the word says about your situation first, because that's the prophecy that you're going to put in your mouth and prophesy over your situation. That is the very first way that you can activate your faith. So, Father, today, right now, in whatever situation that people find themselves in, God, we declare the word of the Lord. We declare what your word says, God, not the reports that we're receiving in the news, not the report that we're receiving anywhere else, and not even what our circumstances say, Lord. We declare your word over our situation, Father. We know that we are blessed and we are not cursed. We know that we are protected, God. We know all of the provision that Psalm 91 affords us. And Holy Spirit, as we are praying together right now in the Spirit, I bless every home that is watching this around the world, God. I bless every home. I bless every business. I bless everybody. And when I say everybody, I'm talking about everybody's physical person. I bless your body. I bless every part of your body, that no kind of virus or sickness would come near you, that you will not die, but you will live, because the word of God declares it. So in Jesus' name, this is the blessing over every home, every person, every business, every family, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to join us next Sunday. We are going to be meeting here online as we celebrate Easter Sunday. I also want to mention a very important prayer request for one of our local pastor's family, Pastor John Kilpatrick and his wife Brenda. If you could please pray for their family. They are the pastors of Church of His Presence, and Miss Brenda has the virus, and their son, John Michael, has the virus. And I want to pray for this family specifically. Would you join with me right now? Holy Spirit, I pray for the Kilpatrick family. I pray for Church of His Presence. I pray for Pastor Kilpatrick. I pray for his wife, Brenda. I pray for his son, John Michael. I pray for all of their children and their grandchildren. Holy Spirit, I declare that these sicknesses in their body, this virus, that it be cursed and die right now, that their bodies shall live, that they shall recover, and that, God, you will get the glory for what's happening in them. Right now, as we pray over the airways, God, you are a God that's eternal. So even now, Father, we ask you that you go through the airwaves and you heal them in Jesus' name, and we expect a manifestation of our faith. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.